It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Love is in the air for the Valentine's edition of the RTC Weekly Download. We'll have three comedies for you. We'll start off with Fibber McGee and Molly and Valentine Candy. And this is from 1942.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. Of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn with songs by the King's Men and music by Billy Mills. The show opens with Hallelujah. Of Saturday night baths and Saturday afternoon floor scrubbing are pretty well gone forever. We now know that that weekly scrubbing of linoleum floors was very harmful and eventually ruined the linoleum. It's so much safer, so much easier to protect floors with the modern floor polish, Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat. You not only save your linoleum and make it last longer, but you save yourself lots of work. Because Glow Coat needs no rubbing or buffing. You simply apply and let dry. Glow Coat is self-polishing. Glow Coat is no ordinary polish. When you use it, you'll notice its lasting luster. You'll see how it wears evenly and smoothly without chipping. That's because Glow Coat has a flexible, not a brittle film. One trial will also convince you that Glow Coat is economical, because a little goes so far. Make a note to remind yourself to buy some Johnson Self-Polishing Glow Coat this week. Some people think it would be a great thing if we were able to peer into the future. Personally, we think it's a blessing that we can't. For instance, here at 79 Wistful Vista sits the lady of the house darning socks for the master of the house, who doesn't know that a messenger boy is approaching with, ah, what can be in store for Fibber McGee and Molly?
Have to buy some new socks.
Huh?
I've darned these so many times, they're practically handmade.
Okay, I'll get some tomorrow. But it's an awful nuisance. Gee, I wish I was a kid again and could go barefooted.
Do you really?
Well, no, not really. These guys that keep yearning for their childhood days are just kidding themselves. I wouldn't go through that again for $1 million.
Why not?
Oh, I was a regular little gangster when I was a kid.
Oh, go on.
I ever tell you about the morning I and Skinny Crandall and Bones Biddle and Stinky Hooper tried to tie a wire across the schoolhouse steps? Then waited in the bushes for the teacher to show up?
No. Yeah. No, you nasty boy. What happened?
Well, we waited till noon and then suddenly realized it was Saturday. So we started running down to the old swimming hole and I tripped on the wire and darn near...
Come in.
Package for Mrs. McGee.
For me?
Are you Mrs. McGee?
Well, what do I have to do? Show you my marriage license?
No, I can see Mr. McGee. Nobody else would live with him.
Fresh kid. Why, when I was his age, I was polite and thoughtful.
Yes, you were, you little gangster. I wonder what this is. Heavenly days, 4 pounds of Valentine candy.
Oh, who's that from?
Oh, as if you didn't know.
Huh?
You darling. You did remember, didn't you?
Well, ain't there a note in it or something?
Well, why should there be? Who'd be sending me Valentine candy but you?
Valentine?
And my favorite kind, too.
Well, I'm glad you like it, Molly. What kind is it?
Now, listen, don't be so coy, McGee. Huh? You can't fool me.
No? Well, Valentine's Day comes but once a year, they say. Or is that Christmas? Well, it's Valentine's Day, too, I guess. Isn't there any... didn't I put a note in it?
Well, I don't see any, but you didn't have to. If a man can't send a Valentine to his wife without a lot of explanations, I'd like to know who...
Hello there, Johnny. Hello, daughter. Hey, can I speak to you alone a minute, Johnny?
Why, sure. Excuse us a minute, Molly.
Certainly. Go right ahead.
What's on your mind, old-timer?
Look, I'm selling Valentines, Johnny. Want to buy one for the kid there? Nothing women appreciate more than a little touch of sentiment, you know.
No, thanks, old-timer. She just got a big box of candy for a Valentine.
She did, eh? Good for you, Johnny.
Well, I don't know whether it is or not. Just between you and me, I don't remember sending it to her.
Then you better buy one of these and send it, too.
Oh, no. That she'd get suspicious.
Don't be a fool, Johnny. The more you send them, the better they like it.
Hmm?
Here's a beaut. All lace and stuff.
Mm.
Says, roses are sweet, and so is your soul. I'm going to throw out my sugar and put you in the bowl.
No, thanks. I don't want any Valentines, old-timer. I don't mind wearing my heart on my sleeve, but I hate the idea of a mailman dragging it all around town in the rain. Thanks, anyway.
Okay, Johnny. Sorry to keep you waiting, daughter. Just wanted to talk a little business with Johnny here.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Old-timer. I was busy darning his socks anyway. Just look how he tears holes in them.
Yes, he's a holy terror, ain't he? Well, I got to get back to my job, kids. Be seeing you.
What do you mean, your job? What you doing?
Oh, I'm caretaker down at the Wistful Vista Recreation Center.
Oh.
Keep the tennis courts in condition.
Oh, must be quite a chore.
Oh, no. Just a few swipes with a claw full of Johnson's wax, and I'm caught up for several days.
Johnson's wax? On a tennis court?
Yep. Table tennis, Johnny. Oh. Well, so long, kids.
You'd never sent me this candy. I just can't keep my hands out of it. It's so good. Don't you like it?
Sure I like it. Why shouldn't I like it?
Well, you keep eyeing the box like you were afraid it was going to eat you.
I do? Well, I guess I just got a complex about candy. Ever since my mother used to feed me butterscotch to pull out my baby teeth. Never believed in that string on the doorknob business myself.
Well, there's no butterscotch in this candy, dearie.
Now, that's what I keep telling my teeth. Hey, who's walking around upstairs?
Oh, poor Uncle Dennis. He's all upset.
What about?
Oh, he's thinking of starting a lawsuit against Walt Disney.
Walt Disney?
Yeah.
What for?
Oh, that pink elephant sequence in Dumbo. Uncle Dennis says he saw him first.
He's all wet. You can't copyright a hangover. Anyway, what right?
Come in.
Good day, Mrs. McGee.
Good day, McGee.
Hi, Latrivia.
Hello, Mr. Mayor. Have some candy?
Thank you, no. I'm on a low-carbohydrate diet.
Well, you better stock up on them then, Latriv. They tell me there's going to be a shortage of low-carbohydrates.
You don't say. Yeah. If I might make a suggestion, McGee, it would be to the effect that people who have no clear comprehension of a subject under discussion would be well advised to maintain a discreet silence.
I don't get it.
Well, he said, dearie, that if ignorance is bliss, happy days are here again. Or if you don't know what you're talking about when you pipe up, pipe down.
Oh, yeah? Well, now, look here, Latrivia.
Just a moment, McGee. Will you please refrain hereafter?
Don't ask him to make any promises about the hereafter, Mr. Mayor. His forwarding address is unknown.
What are you talking about anyway, Latrivia? And quit shaking your finger in my face. I'm liable to think it's Halloween and start bobbing for knuckles.
All right. But hereafter, McGee, please refrain from telling motorcycle policemen that you are a close relation of mine and they can't do that to you.
Do what to you, McGee?
If he's referring to what I think he's referring to, he means that I got a ticket yesterday for parking 8 minutes overtime.
For parking 1 hour and 8 minutes overtime?
Well, can I help it if I forgot to set my watch back last Sunday night?
You weren't supposed to set it back. You were supposed to set it ahead.
In that case, it would be 2 hours and 8 minutes.
There'll be no such a thing. It'd be 8 minutes less than 1 hour. There's 2 hour parking on Oak Street, so the city owes me 52 minutes.
Now, wait a minute, boys. Let's get this straight. Let's say you parked at exactly 3 o'clock and...
But I didn't. I parked at 8 minutes to 4.
Oh, for goodness sakes, you might at least park on the even hour. The odd minutes make these arguments too confusing.
Yes. Anyway, McGee, the justness of the complaint does not concern me. What I object to is your assuming that I, as mayor of Wistful Vista, would use the power of my office to obstruct the due processes of law. Furthermore, you had no business telling the officer that I was your nephew on your mother's side.
You leave my mother out of this, Latrivia. A fine thing. Dragging a guy's family into a sordid case like this. For shame.
But, McGee, he didn't say...
And anything. To think a guy like him is our mayor. It ain't enough that him and his Cossack cops ride roughshod over the common citizens. No, he's got to get personal. He's got to...
Now, just a minute, McGee. You were the one who saw...
Oh, he dragged my family through the mud and the slime of a court trial, holding us up to public ridicule. Just so...
All right, all right. I'll fix the ticket. I'll find the policeman. I'll resign. Good day.
Boy, I should have been a lawyer.
But you had no business telling the policeman that the mayor was your nephew.
Oh, no, I just proved it, didn't I? I made him holler uncle. Give me a piece of that candy. Any chocolate-covered peanuts in there?
Well, you ought to know. You bought it.
Huh? I didn't specify every piece that went into the box.
I bet you did. There's everything I like in it. Oh, you're so thoughtful, McGee.
Oh, shucks.
Valentine's Day. I think it was a Valentine's Day we first went out together, dearie.
Yeah. I carved our initials inside of a big heart on that old oak tree in back of the brewery.
The schoolhouse.
The brewery.
Schoolhouse, McGee.
I remember it was the brewery because the only grove of trees where you could hitch a horse to...
McGee! For 20 years and more, I've been telling people it was back at the schoolhouse and I can't change it now. Heavenly days, what's romantic about a brewery?
Well, if it had been in back of the schoolhouse, I'd have ruined my jackknife. The only tree back there was a big steel flagpole.
Well, just the same, I insist.
Hello, folks.
Oh, hi, Harlow. Have a piece of candy. It's wonderful.
Stop bragging, McGee.
I ain't bragging. I don't even know... Here, have a nougat, Harlow.
No, thanks. Say, do you people ever see Life magazine?
Yes, we do, Mr. Wilcox. McGee always gets Life, Collier's, The American Magazine, and Disturbing Detective. And anybody who'd read Disturbing Detective ought to get Life. Banging is too good.
But, Molly, I gotta get Disturbing Detective on account of the back cover.
Why for the back cover?
I'm trying to see how long Charles Atlas can keep his chest expanded like that.
Why did you ask, Mr. Wilcox?
Well, the Johnson Wax people have got a double-page ad in Life next Friday, and I didn't want you to miss it. We're featuring the Consumer's Pledge for Total Defense.
What you mean, pledge?
Well, look. Look, here's one of the cards for Molly to sign. Read it, Molly.
All right. As a consumer in the total defense of democracy, I will do my part to make my home, my community, my country ready, efficient, and strong. I will buy carefully. I will take good care of the things I have. I will waste nothing. Place for signature. Consumer Division, Office of Price Administration. Well, I'll certainly sign that, Mr. Wilcox.
Thanks, Molly. This is mighty important right now. If there was ever a time to conserve and save and protect and preserve, it's today. And Johnson's Wax does all of them in so many ways. It's a pretty necessary item on your kitchen shelf.
Oh, say, and that reminds me, I'd better go in the kitchen and see if I have enough on hand. Excuse me a minute, boy.
Certainly, Molly. Well, now I'll have a chaw of your chocolates, chum.
Here, help yourself. And look.
Yeah?
You didn't send this candy to Molly, did you?
Not me, pal. I don't send candy to married women. I'm allergic to buckshot. Why, didn't you?
If I did, you can bop me with a bonbon if I remember doing it.
Well, maybe you walked in your sleep again and crashed a confectionery.
Say, I wonder... Oh, no, that ain't possible. The candy stores aren't open that late. Still, hey, you call on a lot of stores, don't you, Harlow?
Sure, now that I'm taking these pledge cards around...
Well, look, kind of snoop around and see what you can find out, will you? See if a guy about my size, wearing purple pajamas and green slippers, with a sleepy look on his puss, came wandering in any place and bought a box of Valentine's candy.
Easy. Here she comes. Okay, pal, okay. I'll tell George what you said. So long. See you later.
So long, George.
Say, who's George, McGee? And, what do you want Mr. Wilcox to tell him?
George?
Yes, George.
Oh, George. Yeah, he's, he met old George Frijoles.
Well, who on earth is George Frijoles?
He used to have a tire shop out on 14th Street. Just sold it and took up blacksmithing. I just told Harlow to wish him good luck. Though why a guy in the horseshoe business should need anybody to tell him...
Toss me one of those coconut creams, McGee. They're delicious.
Here.
Thank you. My, I don't know when a box of candy has intrigued me like this one, dearie.
Yeah, me either. I mean, me too.
What?
I'm glad you like it, Molly. You always did like mixed chocolates, didn't you?
Yes, and weren't you nice to remember?
Yeah.
But then you always were thoughtful. Always a gentleman.
Yeah.
Remember the time I dropped my handkerchief at the dance? And you and Otis Cadwallader both rushed to pick it up and bumped your heads together and knocked each other out.
Yeah, but I came too. That guy's still unconscious.
Oh, my, you were jealous of him. I believe you still are.
Oh, I am not.
Say, I saw in the paper last night that he's in town. What's the matter?
This candy kind of choked me. In fact, I think any of it would choke me.
What do you mean?
I mean that Otis Cadwallader. He might be the guy who... Well, he'd make me choke on a caraway seed. The very mention of his name makes me...
Ah, you see, you are jealous. I never saw such a laugh. Come in. Oh, hello, Mrs. Uppington.
How do you do, my dear? And Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppy. Come on in, out of the rain.
Oh, it's not raining, Mr. McGee.
It ain't? I just swore I saw a big drip in the doorway. Come on in, anyway.
Have a hunk of candy, Abigail. Sweets to the sweet, you know.
In this case, a chocolate-covered dill pickle might be more
appropriate. McGee. Have one, Abigail?
Oh, thank you, no, my dear. No candy for me. I must keep my weight down, you know.
And you're doing swell at it, too, Uppy.
Oh, do you think so, Mr. McGee?
I sure do. What did I just tell you just this morning, Molly?
Well, he said, isn't it wonderful how Mrs. Uppington keeps her figure?
Oh, not really.
And I said, it certainly is.
Well, I flutter myself.
And then I said, yes. But why anyone would want to keep a figure like that is beyond...
Mr. McGee. I prefer not to speak of my dimensions.
Okay, up if you say so. They're unspeakable.
What?
He just means that if you prefer not to mention your weight, it's unmentionable.
Oh, I see. Well, I just stopped by Mrs. McGee to show you my new bracelet. See?
Heavenly days, Abigail, is this really yours?
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Don't tell me that's genuine, Uppy.
Indeed it is, Mr. McGee.
Wow.
Oh, I spent more for it than I should possibly. But this is the sort of thing that will become a valuable heirloom, you know.
Well, you'd better be careful, Abigail. You don't let it lay around the house, do you?
Oh, no, my dear.
Boy.
In fact, I'm on my way to the bank right now to put it in the vault.
Well, I should hope so. That thing is practically irreplaceable.
Yeah. Oh,
of course it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I just adore it. I'm such a happy, happy girl to own a genuine solid rubber band. Well, goodbye.
The Kingsmen sing Don't Touch It.
When I was just a tiny tot down in Tennessee,
I kept my mammy on the spot
looking after me. I'd fool with this and fool with that, messing round about.
And when I'd grab my pappy's hat,
mammy dear would shout, don't touch it, better leave it alone, don't touch it.
Mm-mm.
Hey, hey, you'll catch it. When pappy gets home, if you don't mind what I say.
When Pappy missed his Sunday hat down in Tennessee, he'd fuss and fuss and cuss and cuss and start to look for me. Then pretty soon I'd have a date in the old woodshed, and with remorse I'd meditate on what my mammy said.
Don't touch it, can't you leave it alone, don't touch it. Nay, nay, you'll catch it, as sure as you're born, if you don't mind what I say.
One day I went with Pappy downtown to buy a shoe.
He said it was good for any man
to have a sip of brew. But when he went to take a nip, we heard an awful roar.
We turned around, there was Mammy
shouting through the door, don't touch it, can't you leave it alone, don't touch it. Nay, nay, you'll catch it, as sure as you're born, if you don't mind what I say.
Happy were my childhood days down in Tennessee. The dear old-fashioned country ways still appeal to me.
I'd gladly be a boy again to mess around about. I'd step on Pappy's derby just to hear my mammy shout, don't touch it, better leave it alone, don't touch it.
Mm-mm.
Hey, hey, you'll catch it. When Pappy gets home, if you don't mind what I say.
Andy McGee, help yourself to all you want.
Oh.
Any man who remembers his wife like this for Valentine's Day deserves anything he can get.
I wish you'd quit saying that, Molly.
Why, for goodness sakes, you did send it to me, didn't you?
Oh, who'd you suppose sent it?
Well, then don't be so modest. You certainly have changed since we were married.
I have? How so?
Oh, when we were going together and you'd send a box of Turkish delights or a Tootsie Roll, you kept reminding me of it for weeks. You'd say, how about a kiss, baby? And I'd say, no, not now. And then you'd pout and say, okay, no more saltwater taffy for you. And then I'd say,
oh, no. Come in.
Hello, folks.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Wimp, old man. How's everything?
Oh, just peachy, Mr. McGee.
Well, you're looking very well, Mr. Wimple. Is your wife away?
No, but Sweetie Face has been very busy with the new women's ambulance unit, Mr. McGee.
Well, the ambulance unit, eh?
Yes.
She a nurse or a driver, Wimple?
Neither one, Mr. McGee. She holds up the ambulance while the other girls crawl under it and make repairs.
Your wife is very strong, isn't she, Mr. Wimple?
Indeed, she is. Why, do you know, I've seen her tie a bow knot and a steel crowbar.
Gee, really?
Yes, sirree.
Wow.
And I don't mind telling you, I had a terrible time getting it off, too. My neck was sore for weeks.
Well, there's one thing about your married life, Wimp. You never know what's coming next.
Yes, that's something to be thankful for, isn't it? But I really owe a lot to Sweetie Face.
Yeah.
She's made me what I am today.
And what is that?
Come, let's not get clinical, Miss.
I'll bring her over sometime, Wimp. I'll get 4 flat irons and we'll play peas porridge hot.
Oh, I just can't get her to go out anywhere socially, Mr. McGee. She says she'd rather stay home with her artwork.
Oh, artwork. Does she paint, too?
Oh, indeed she does. She did a wonderful painting of 2 moonshiners working down in the Kentucky hills.
Oh. Mm.
What'd she call it?
Still life. I'll never forget the time I asked you to paint me.
And did she do it?
In a way, she did, Mrs. McGee. She gave me a beautiful shellacking.
I suppose she was just being playful.
Of course, of course. She has a grand sense of humor. One day I said to her, "Sweetie Face, let's not play so rough." And she said, "All right, Wallace, let's play beanbag." And I said, "Oh, dandy." And then everything went black. My goodness, I never knew beans came in 500-pound bags.
Hey, we never offered Wimple any candy.
Well, it's probably just as well. One Sweetie Face in the family ought to be plenty. The poor fella.
Yeah, the way he gets pushed around, he must have come from a long line of wheelbarrows. He's...
I'll get it, McGee. 79 Wistful Vista, Molly McGee speaking. Who? Oh, hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Oh, Wilcox. Hey, let me take it,
be
Molly.
Be quiet, McGee. I can't hear. What was it, Mr. Wilcox?
Now, Molly, that's the important call. I've been expecting
you. Oh, I can't hear a word he said.
No, but...
What'd you say, Mr. Wilcox?
Yes,
I'll be glad to take the message.
Oh, now I am, son.
Yes? Yeah?
Oh.
All right.
Why didn't I go?
Yes? Yes, I'll tell him, Mr. Wilcox.
Why,
well, thank you for calling. Goodbye. McGee.
Huh?
What on earth goes on, anyway?
Well, I might as well admit the whole thing, Molly. I never felt right about it anyway.
About what?
About the... Hey, wait a minute. What did Wilcox say?
Well, he said to give you this message and you'd understand.
Yeah?
He said, Elks Club, punch board, 2 weeks ago, deliver this week.
Elks Club. This... Oh, so that was it. Now I remember. Oh, boy. Is that a load off my mind?
Is what a load off your mind?
Oh, it wouldn't interest you, Molly.
But it would, McGee.
Huh?
You were interested enough in me to send me this lovely candy, and I'm interested in your affairs, too, dear.
Okay, I'll tell you. You see, the Elks wanted me to act as chairman of the boxing committee a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I said I'd think it over... So I delivered my acceptance today. That's simple, ain't it?
But what's this about a punch board?
Oh, that. That's what we fellas call the boxing committee, the punch board. Hand me a piece of that candy, will you, Molly? Give me 2 pieces. Give me a handful. I never mind.
Most of us today have our weather eye out for worthwhile economies, places where we can make $1 do the work of 2. One way you can accomplish that same thing is by taking better care of what you have and saving on replacements. Protect your floors, for example, and save money on costly refinishing by polishing them regularly with genuine Johnson's wax. The coat of wax acts as a shield against both dirt and wear. It's easily applied and can be touched up or renewed as often as necessary. The result is not only money-saving protection, but greater beauty for your entire home and less work for you. You can use that same Johnson's Wax to protect and beautify your furniture and woodwork, your windowsills, Venetian blinds, shoes, luggage, refrigerator. If you do this, you'll be practicing what housekeeping authorities call protective housekeeping. Johnson's Wax is now available in 3 forms: paste, liquid, and cream wax.
Sorry, folks, our time's up. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Finishes for Home and Industry, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
Let me remind you again to clean and polish your car with Johnson's Car New, the new labor saver that does two jobs at the same time, both cleans and polishes in one application. Car New, made by the makers of Johnson's Wax, gives your car back its original showroom shine, increases your driving pleasure. Thousands of car owners have learned to say, your car looks like new when you use Car New. Don't put it off. Buy a can of Johnson's Car New this week, spelled C-A-R-N-U.
And if that advertisement was truly effective, you'd be running all around trying to find Car New this week, but you'll need lots of luck. It hasn't been around for a while. Now we turn the dial for the Amos and Andy Show from 1944. The guest is Charles Boyer, and the show's entitled Charles Boyer's Valet.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to stay tuned in for an important message from Washington, D.C. at the close of our program. Now, here is the Amos and Andy Show with their guest tonight, Charles Boyer. Where Andrew H. Brown is concerned, it seems that Cupid never runs out of darts. The little fellow with the arrows has found Andy's heart once more, and we find him madly in love with the fashionable and well-to-do Sabina Emerson. At the moment, Andy is at Sabina's house, about to pop the question.
Honey, I admit that I done heard the call of love two or three other times in my life, but now I knows it was just whispering. This time it's really shouting at me. I was crazy about you, Sabina.
Well, that's very flattering of you, Andy, to say that, and I want
you to
know...
Oh, honey, I can't get you off my mind. Look here. When I sits by my window at night looking up at the sky, I sees your face in every cloud. And when I walk through the park, I sees you looking up at me from every flower. And even when I shoots pool, your face is in every pocket.
Andy, what are you trying to say?
Sabina... What I'm trying to say is something that I ain't never said to no gal before. Will you marry me?
Why, Andy, I had no idea.
Oh, Sabina, please say you'll marry me.
Well, Andy, I'm very fond of you and I enjoy being with you, but, well, I don't know just how to say it.
Yeah, well, what's wrong, honey?
Well, it's Mama. She says you're all right for a friend, Andy, but not to let it get serious.
She wanted to be strictly flutonic, huh?
That's right.
Well, don't your mama like me?
Well, to tell you the truth, Andy, Mama feels that before anybody marries into us Emersons, they got to have background and charm and refinement.
Well, ain't I got them?
Well, frankly speaking, Andy, and I think there's cause for frankness, Mama feels that you was a little uncouth.
Yeah, well, I admit that I got a few rough edges here and there. But if you give me a little time, I could couth myself up.
Well, Andy, it goes a little deeper than that. You see, Mama said...
Huh, Sabina? Get your wrap before we're late for the concert.
Yes, Mama.
Is Sabina got to go, Miss Emerson?
Well, it's an all Beethoven concert tonight. Sabina adores Beethoven, and she wouldn't think of missing it.
Yeah, well, us Browns adores Beethoven, too. Him and Spike Jones is our favorites. Wait a minute. Maybe I could go along with you. I'll pay for my own ticket and everything.
Oh, Mr. Brown, I'm afraid you would be out of place. Sabina?
I'm telling you, Amos, you're wasting your time looking in that dictionary.
Well, it ought to be around in here someplace.
Well, there's a lot of words in that dictionary there, but I couldn't find no uncouth. Tell you the truth, Amos, there ain't but three words in the whole book that start off with UNK.
Wait a minute. Here it is. I done found it, Andy. Here, look. Here it is. Uncouth. It starts off with UNC. It say here, awkward, lacking in refinement, crude, clumsy, vulgar, offensive, obnoxious.
Hold it, hold it. That's enough. That's enough.
Now tell me this. Why are you so interested in that word?
Well, Amos, that's what Sabina's mama say that I is. Tell me, Amos, why is it that mamas don't like me?
Well, Andy, that's a hard thing to
say. No, there must be something wrong with them. My mama always liked me.
Yeah, well, you know how gals' mamas is sometime, Andy.
Yeah, I know.
Well, hello there, boys. How is it?
Yeah, hello, Kingfish.
How are you, Kingfish?
Just dropped in to see what's new.
Well, I was having trouble with a gal.
There ain't nothing new about that.
Well, there's something new about this. I wants to get married.
You hear that, Amos? The man wants to get married. They still ain't got all the crazy men's locked up yet, is it?
Well, you is married, Kingfish, and you ain't locked up.
No, but there ain't much difference.
Tain't, huh?
Brother Andy, when a man gets married, he might as well put adhesive tape on his lips. He done had his last chance to open his mouth.
He is, huh?
When the average married man say, I do, well, he just done said everything. From then on, his vocal cords is just a luxury. That's what I
mean. Well, listen here. I don't care what you say, Kingfish. I wants to marry this gal. She's pretty.
That's only skin deep.
She's got class.
That'll disappear.
She's sweet.
That won't hang around long, neither.
And she happened to have some money.
That won't be... Andy, why don't you marry the gal?
All you got to hear is money, huh, Kingfish?
Well, Amos is just that if Andy marry a gal with money, he can go into one of the businesses that he has always wanted to. Ain't that right, partner dear?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Marry the gal, Andy. Do me a favor.
Wait a minute, Kingfish. Wait till I tell you what Sabina's mama say about me.
What's that?
She say I is uncouth. And on top of everything else, her mama say I ain't got no background or no charm or refinement or nothing.
All right, I tell you what. We'll get them things for you, Ender. Look here. I'm going over to see Henry Van Porter. He knows all about that charm stuff. Don't do nothing till you hears from me.
In other words, Kingfish, before Andy can persuade the young lady to enter into matrimony, he got to polish off some of the rough edges, huh?
Yeah, like I tell you, Henry, if Andy marries this gal, there's going to be some dough floating around. We might be getting in the way of some of it, me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just got to get him coosed up. That's all we got to do.
Yes, well, wait a minute, Kingfish. I have a thought here. It so happens that my sister-in-law, Eula, is head maid at one of the big downtown hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, only yesterday, she asked me if I knowed of anybody that would be interested in taking a job as valet or sort of a man about the house.
Oh, what about it?
Well, the man that's looking for this valet happens to be none other than Charles Boyer, the big moving picture actor.
Yeah, I still don't see what you're driving at, Henry.
Well, look here. Charles Boyer is the most cultured, refined, and charming actor on the screen today. He's got the knack of always saying the right thing at the right time.
Well, I don't know nothing about that. When I see him in the picture, he didn't do much talking. It seemed to me all he done was kissing. But I guess you can't blame him for that. Better than driving a truck.
Yes. Well, Kingfish, if Andy was to take this job over a period of a few days, he has got to pick up some of Mr. Boyer's quality.
Yeah, that's right. I'll sell Andy the idea. Uh-oh. I just had a horrible thought.
What is it?
Oh, it couldn't be. I was just thinking how awful it would be if Mr. Boyer was to pick up some of Andy's qualities.
I'm telling you, Kingfish, I was willing to do anything to get Sabina to marry me, but how is I going to convince that Mr. Boyer that I is a valet?
Oh, listen, Andy, valeting ain't nothing. All you got to do is to figure out what you would want somebody to do for you if he was you instead of him. Then go ahead and do it for him instead of you. That's all you got to do.
What is that again, Kingfish? This left ear of mine ain't been picking up good lately. What?
Andy, believe me, there's nothing to it. You'll catch on right away.
All right, I'll do it.
Great. And listen, don't forget the most important thing when you was up there. Keep your eye on Mr. Boyer and soak up all the coosin' you can.
Oh, Miss Carlson.
Yes, Mr. Boyer.
That man who was going to apply for the job as my valet, he has not arrived yet, has he?
No, but I expect he'll be here any minute.
Ordinarily, I could get along myself. He's just that I'm so busy here in New York.
Yes, producing a picture and selling war bonds at the same time certainly keeps you on the go.
Well, I hope I can get a valet to help me.
I'll get it.
Oh, I hope it's him.
My name is Andrew H. Brown. I don't come to see Mr. Boyer.
Come right in.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Mr. Boyer, this is Andrew H. Brown.
Oh, Mr. Brown, entre donc. Oh, pretty good, entre donc to you. Now, sit down. Sit down. You've come to take the valet job, no? I don't come to take the valet job yet.
Well, I think you will do, Andrew. You know, I like you.
Yeah, well, I'm crazy about you, too.
And you know, with me, the first impressions are what counts. At the very first glance, I can tell that you are industrious, reliable, hardworking, and never loaf on the job.
Who, me?
Oh, yeah, sure,
I'm on my toes, all right. Yes.
Well, then it is settled. My secretary will discuss the salary with you, and I'll see you in the morning.
Yes, sir. Mr. Boy, one thing I'd like to ask you.
Hmm?
Is I going to be around you a lot while I was on this job?
Oh, yes. In the course of your duties, you will have quite a bit of contact with me. Oh, by the way, Andrew, tomorrow morning, I would like you to press my Oxford gray suit. I'm expecting a very charming young lady to visit me.
Yes, sir. Mr. Boyer.
What is it?
Would it be all right if I brung along a notebook?
Well, Andy has a job as valet to Charles Boyer. Right now, he's talking it over with Amos.
So you're going to start tomorrow, huh, Andy?
Yeah, and it looked like it's going to work out great, Amos. I guarantee that by tomorrow night, they're going to be a new Andrew H. Brown. Charming, refined, cultured, and cool.
Oh, Andy, wait a minute. You know that charm stuff ain't like the measles. You don't get it and have it break out on you all the same day, you know.
Yeah, well, if things work out like they look like they're going to work out, I is going to be so refined by tomorrow night that Sabina and her mama will both want to marry me.
Uh-huh.
You know, I done called her up and made a date, and I told her she is going to see a new Andrew H. Brown.
Well, Andrew, I see you've been busy this morning. Everything looks sheep-shape.
Everything look what?
Sheep-shape.
Sheep-shape? You know, Mr. Boyer, the way you talk sometimes, I can't comprehend all the words in your vocabulary.
Oh, well, Andrew, you are no Patrick Henry yourself, you know.
I see you got that gray suit on, Mr. Boyer. I done pressed it for you, you know.
Oh, yes. Merci.
Yeah, I guess it is a little messy, all right. Bubba, I'll do better the next time.
Oh, as I told you yesterday, Andrew, I have an important appointment here today with a young lady, and I would like you to tidy up the living room a bit.
I already done that. Yes, sir. Slick as a whistle.
Oh, well, in that case, I think it...
Mr. Boyer, Miss Cummings is here.
Oh, good. I'll be right in. Oh, Andrew, when you have a chance, put some oil on the hinges of that door. It's so squeaky.
Yes, sir. Okay, Mr. Boyer. I'll get around to it.
Miss Cummings, I'm so happy to see you.
I guess I'm a little early.
No. Tell me, did you learn the part in the picture script?
Every word of it. And I must say it's a fine piece of writing. Are you going to play a part in it yourself, Mr. Boyer?
Oh, heaven forbid. I've already made 3 pictures this year. A man's lower lip can stand just so much, you know.
I see. You're just going to produce it.
That's right. I'm very anxious to hear you do this part because I'm looking for new faces for this picture. That's why I came to New York. Well, suppose we run over it and see how it sounds. Just for now, I will take the part of Philip. You realize, of course, that in the picture someone else will play this. It wasn't written for me.
Oh, I can see that from the lines.
Well, let us take the scene at the villa near the Casbah in Algiers.
Oh, yes, I adore that scene.
Now, remember, you are the beautiful American girl, and you do not know that Philip is a low, miserable person, the equivalent of an American gangster. Mm-hmm. All right, Miss Cummings, begin, please.
Philip, you shouldn't have come here.
Why? It's after dark, and I've come by the rooftops. The gendarmes will not know.
That is not what I mean, Philip. I've told you before that you and I are not for each other.
You forget. What Philip wants, Philip takes.
Why are you looking at me so strangely?
Because I do not like it when you say things like that to me. Ah, you crazy woman. You... Andrew, what is it?
I just brung in some ice water here. I thought you might get thirsty.
Well... Thank you. Put it over there.
Yes, sir.
You crazy woman.
Suppose I were to tell you that I was leaving immediately.
Before you could get to that door, my dear, I would kill you. Andrew, what's the matter? Why do you stand around?
Excuse me. I'm going right back to the kitchen. Yeah.
Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Before you could get to that door, my dear, I would kill you.
No, Philippe. No, you wouldn't kill me. Killing comes to a man like you as easy as the lifting of a finger. But you would never kill that which you love.
Oh, Miss Cummings, that's what's excellent.
Thank you.
Of course, it must be very difficult for you when I'm so clumsy with this part. As I said before, this is not a part I could play, but I will do the best I can just for now. Let us go on with it. Your next line, please.
Oh, yes. Philippe, please stay away from me. Don't come near me.
Oh, you are lovely.
Let go of my arm. You're hurting me.
Oh, I twisted your arm. I hurt you. Well, did it ever occur to you that my heart has also... Oh, Andrew, what is it now?
Well, I brung you another pitcher of water just in case you done drunk up the other one.
Now, Andrew, why don't you just run a hose in here?
Yes, sir. Well...
All right, that would be all, Andrew.
Yes, sir.
Now, my darling, look into my eyes. Tell me that you will be in my arms wherever I go.
No, Philippe, no.
You will do as I say. Otherwise, I will beat you. And the more I beat you, the more you will love me.
Oh, I do love you.
And you will always love me, even though I treat you like a dog. Andrew, now, what are you writing on that notebook?
I just keeping track of how many pitchers of water I done brung in.
Oh, I see. Oh, yes, that's very important. We must not lose track of that. But, Andrew, you can do that outside.
Yes, sir.
Poor fellow. He's far from being the ideal servant, but they're so hard to get today.
Yes, I know.
Of course, there is one thing. With Andrew around, I'll never die of thirst.
Shall I go on with the scene?
Yes, please.
It is the strangest thing, Philippe. When you are out of my sight, I hate you. But the moment your eyes meet mine, I'm under your spell. I... I would only be a fool to pretend. I will always love you, no matter what you do.
So, but how can I be sure what you say is true? What if I should go away for months at a time and then come home and tell you I've grown tired of you?
I would say I love you.
And your mother? What if she should come to take you away from me? What about that? What if I were to throw her out into the gutter?
I would still say, I love you.
Let us press together our lips till eternity. But remember, my dear, if you should ever as much as look at another man, I would cut his throat. I would tear it and do.
Yes, sir.
What is it now?
Well, Well, this don't seem like a water-drinking crowd, so I come to take the water out again.
Andrew, I don't know what I would do without you. Why don't you go home?
What?
Look, Andrew, it's been a bit confusing here, your first day. You must be tired. Why don't you go home and get some rest, and tomorrow you'll feel like a new man.
Mr. Boye, I feel like a new man right now. Kingfish, grab hold of that collar button in the back there and help me get this stiff collar on, will you?
Okay, Anna. Boy, all dressed up like you is, and with that charm you done picked up all this afternoon from Mr. Boye, you can't mess with that gal tonight.
Yeah.
You really coosed up to the gills.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Kingfish, anybody that could peep in and see me making love to Sabina won't be able to tell the difference between me and Charles Boye.
Yeah, you really done learned some of that charm stuff up there this afternoon, huh?
Oh, sure. You know something? Mr. Boye had a gal up there visiting him. And you know something, Kingfish?
Oh, what?
Charm ain't nothing like people think it is. Got a little more zip to it.
Do, huh? What do you mean, Andy?
Well, it's kind of a secret, Kingfish. Me and Mr. Boye don't want this to spread round. Before you know it, everybody would be charming and there wouldn't be no bums left.
Yeah, I see your point there, Andy.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm about ready to go.
Oh, yeah, you look great, Andy. Good luck to you, son. And set that wedding date as soon as possible so we can get right into business the next day, partner dear.
I'll get it, Mother.
Oh, that must be Andrew Brown now. I can hardly wait to see him as he really is.
Coming.
Sabina, I'm going to listen from behind the portiere.
Come in, Andy.
Oh, wee-wee, mercy bo-beep and all that stuff.
Come in, Andy, won't you sit down?
Wait a minute. Don't you notice nothing?
What you mean, Andy?
Well, can't you see that I was looking strange at you with my eyes?
No, they sure enough don't look strange to me.
They don't, huh? Don't they look kind of dreamy, kind of half-open there? My cherie, come close to me and let me crush you.
Why, Andy?
You is crazy about me, no? That no really mean yes, but it's a charming way of putting it.
Andy, let go of my hand. I don't think we should hold hands now.
Who wants to hold hands? I'm going to twist your arm.
Oh, Andy!
Oh, boy, this charming culture really oozing out of me, ain't it? Sabina, that's cause I loves you. I'm gonna keep on loving you more every day till I ends up treating you like a dog. How I doing, honey?
Andy, I don't understand you. I never seen anything like this before.
Well, that's just cause I guess you ain't never run up into this high-class refinement and coosed-up culture stuff before.
But Andy, this is such a strange way to show your affection.
Oh, this ain't nothing. Wait till I start beating you.
Oh, I've heard enough. Andrew Brown, you get out of here.
Well, now, wait a minute, honey.
Wait a minute, nothing. I heard every word of this.
Oh, hello, Mother.
You get on out of here this minute, Andrew Brown.
How would you like to land in the gutter?
If you don't get out of here this very instant, I'll call the police.
Hey, take it easy. I just being charming here. You was looking at the new Andrew H. Brown.
I didn't like the old one. And I don't like the new one twice as much. Get out!
Well, wait a minute. Take it easy, Miss Emerson. I can explain everything.
Well, explain this, then.
Ow! 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 Miss Emerson, please,
Sabina,
give me a chance.
Call the police!
No, don't do that. Miss Emerson, put that vase down. I'm going.
Oh, Andrew.
Hello, Mr. Boye.
Well, you're a little late for work this morning.
Yeah, well, I was quitting the job, Mr. Boye.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there's something I want to tell you.
What is that, Andrew?
Mr. Boye, if you don't forget that lovemaking system you got, you're going to end up by getting your head busted in.
Thank you.
as I promised you, here is an important message. We take you now to Washington, D.C., to hear from Mr. Elmer Davis, Director of the Office of War Information.
I'm going to speak very briefly about a matter that concerns all of us. The coming months will be vitally important to every American. Soon the enemy in Europe will feel the full impact of our military blows. We are going to hit, as the President has said, from various points of the compass. We are converging for the attack. 1944 can be the year of destiny in the European war. The attack which we will launch in cooperation with our allies is not merely an assault by soldiers and sailors and marines. It is the combined attack of the entire American nation. For in this war, what we do at home affects very greatly our success in the field. The harder we work, the more we put into our jobs, the more chance we have of knocking out the enemy more quickly, and the more chance we have of keeping our casualties down. There's another aspect to this story. I am sure the men in Italy, the men fighting in the Pacific, and the men who will be fighting in other parts of Europe would like to feel that the whole country is in back of them. They will know how quickly and how successfully we invest in the common effort, and the enemy will know too. We in OWI will see to it that the people of occupied countries and the people of enemy countries will know about it. For this is a demonstration of the unity of America against the common foe. In a way, by buying bonds, we are all engaged in psychological warfare. For the Nazi leaders are apparently unwilling to face the test of going to the public for their war loans. They can't do it. Our people can. For here, everyone is part of the war, at the front or back at home. And as we prepare for the attack in Europe and attacks in the Pacific, the thing we all do as individuals is very important, and one thing we can do is to invest as much as we are able in war bonds. Let's all buy war bonds.
Thank you, Mr. Elmer Davis. Ladies and gentlemen, be sure to join the Amos and Andy Show next Friday night at this same time when the boys will have as their guest Miss Ethel Waters. Our thanks to Charles Boyer for appearing with us tonight. He can currently be seen in Universal's all-star production, Flesh and Fantasy, of which he is co-producer. The Amos and Andy Show is broadcast to our armed forces everywhere.
I hope you're enjoying our Valentine's Day program here on the RTC Weekly Download. We have our final show all racked up and ready to go, and it's the Aldridge Family from 1943. Sticking with our theme, it's Valentine's Day.
Presents
Henry! Henry Aldrich!
Coming, Mother!
The Aldrich Family, written by Clifford Goldsmith. Entertainment for all the family, brought to you by Postum, a tempting, wholesome drink for all the family. Postum. Well, friends, here it is another Thursday night, and opportunity is knocking loudly at your door, and knocking twice. First, it's your opportunity to put away your worries and cares for a half hour and relax and laugh with those grand people, the Aldrich family. And second, it's your opportunity to find out something about that equally grand mealtime drink, Postum. Why, even in looks, friends, Postum is a winner. The kind of drink you don't waste a second tilting to your lips. It has the kind of flavor you refer to in italics. It has the kind of hearty, robust goodness that warms the cockles of your heart. Now, just don't expect when you try it that Postum is going to taste like coffee any more than you'd expect coffee to taste like tea. Remember that Postum's distinctive flavor is in a class apart. It has an extra special goodness of its own that leaves you no words for description but ah, and ah again. And then, don't be surprised if you enjoy your meals far more than you did before the day you start enjoying Postum. Boys like Penrod Schofield, Tom Sawyer, and Huck Finn live in our memories because they typify the teenage youngsters all of us know. And Henry Aldrich is another of these real American boys. He lives in your block, perhaps in your own home. The scene opens in the Aldrich living room.
But, Mary, what have I done?
You know very well what you've done, Henry Aldrich. You know very well what you've done.
When?
Didn't you and Homer ask a whole crowd here to our house for a Valentine party Saturday night?
Sure, we even sent out written invitations.
But, Henry, that's the night I'm having my party.
Mary, how could you have a party?
Oh, my goodness, Henry, I've been planning on it for 6 weeks.
On a party?
Yes, for my sorority.
Oh, all right, Mary, can't you meet at some other house?
Henry, Mother says it's my party and I can have it here at our house and I'm not to budge an inch.
I know, but Mary...
Henry, you're wanted on the telephone.
Yes, Mother, I'll be there just as soon as I get something straightened out. Mary, how about our invitations? What are Homer and I going to do?
I'm sure I don't know. You can have your party at Homer's house.
But Mary! But Mary! Hello?
Hello, Henry, this is Agnes.
Who?
Agnes, is Homer there?
No, I was just going to call and see whether he's over at your house. There's something I have to see him about right away.
Well, Henry, we're all looking forward to your party Saturday night.
You are?
And I was just wondering whether you'd mind calling Lillian Spencer and asking her to come.
Lillian Spencer?
She'd have an awfully good time, Henry.
But Agnes, I wouldn't.
What do you mean by that?
Well, besides one reason I'd rather not even mention, I'm not speaking to Lillian.
That's all right. I'd be glad to call her.
But Agnes, that'll make 13.
Henry!
Yes, Mary. Just a second, Agnes.
Homer's here.
Well, tell him to come here quick. Agnes. Agnes! Oh, gee whiz.
Hey, Henry, I was just over to the bakery and ordered 4 dozen donuts.
Homer, why couldn't we throw the party at your house?
Why?
Well, your house is a lot nearer the center of town, Homer, and your heating system's a lot better than ours.
Now, listen, Henry, don't you remember the last party we threw at my house?
Well, Homer, that was just due to an unfortunate series of circumstances.
Even so, my father hasn't gotten over it yet.
But, Homer, let me tell you. We're giving a party Saturday night, and it isn't going to be at your house, and it isn't going to be at mine. But, Mother, why not look at it this way?
I'm sorry, dear.
Alice, have you seen that piece of paper I had?
What was it, Sam?
It was a list of the members of the Rotary Club.
Father, do you have any ideas as to how we could manage it?
Henry, I haven't time to talk about anything now. I've got to go find that list.
But, Mr. Aldrich...
Henry, I'm sorry, but you may not have your party here. Please go answer the telephone.
Yes, Mother.
Henry, what are we going to do?
I don't know, Homer. Why do you keep asking me?
Because I ordered the donuts in my name.
Hello?
Hello, Henry. This is Kathleen.
Oh, hello.
I just wanted to tell you the good news.
What?
Well, I don't suppose I should tell you, but I got a new evening dress for your party.
You did? An evening... But, Kathleen, it's going to be informal.
Oh, no. Agnes phoned all of us and said it had been changed. We're to wear long dresses.
Agnes did?
Yes, Henry, and I just wanted to tell you I'm looking forward to coming. Goodbye.
But Kathleen! Kathleen!
What's the matter, Henry?
Agnes is having them all dress up. Who gave her any authority like that?
You know, Henry, what we've got to do?
What?
Something about the number 13. Either we've got to get rid of one of our guests, or you or I have got to drop out.
Now, listen, Homer, you're not going to leave me flat.
Well, I was just making a generous offer, Henry. I know. Why not call Agnes and see whether she'd have any suggestions?
In what way?
Well, as long as she's showing so much interest, she might be very glad to have our party at her house.
Now, listen, Homer, we're not going to get Agnes any more mixed up in this than she is.
Henry, didn't you ever taste the lemon meringue pie her mother makes?
Yes.
And there you are. Let me call her.
But, Homer...
Hello?
Number, please.
Elm 9717.
Elm 9717.
Homer, how do you know her mother will make any pie?
Henry, why worry about that detail when you don't even have a roof over your party?
Hello?
Hello, is this Agnes?
Yes, Homer, and I'm glad you called.
You are?
Yes, I want you to go right over to Andy Morton's and get all of his records.
What for?
For the party Saturday night at Henry's.
At Henry's?
Yes, aren't you taking me?
Well... As a matter of fact, Agnes, that's what I really called you up about. Supposing it's raining real hard that night.
What about it?
Well, you wouldn't want to go out in it, would you? I mean, if it was practically the worst storm we've had all season.
What made you think of that?
You can't tell, Agnes. Suppose it even turned to sleet and froze right on you.
Oh, my, I wouldn't go out if it did that.
Well, I'm glad you'd be sensible, because I've got a wonderful solution. We're all coming over to your house.
What's that?
Ask her about the pie, Homer.
Homer, the invitation said the party was to be at the Aldrich's.
But, Agnes, why not look at it this way?
Now, listen, Homer Brown.
I wonder why she doesn't come to the door.
You know, Homer, something tells me we're going to be sorry we're having the party at Agnes's house.
Henry will have a wonderful time, and it was very nice of Agnes.
But why do we have to come over a day early?
Because she said we had to come and make the plans.
Sure, that's what I mean. Homer, we know what the inside of our house looks like.
Hello.
Hi, Agnes.
Hello.
Come on in. My goodness, I'm so excited.
Yeah?
First of all, I've got a lot of ideas about things for us to eat.
Oh, Agnes, so far as the refreshments are concerned, Homer and I have taken care of everything but the lemon meringue pie.
But, Henry, what are you having?
Ginger ale and donuts.
Donuts?
Sure. We just ordered 4 dozen.
4 dozen?
Sure.
But, my goodness, 4 dozen?
Well, Agnes, that isn't so many. As a matter of fact, I was just thinking we ought to double the order.
Sure.
But, boys, I don't like donuts.
But I do.
All right. My goodness, why worry over a little thing like donuts? Naturally, we can decide a thing like that later on. Now, here's the living room.
Oh, yes. Yes.
The first thing you want to do is move the piano down to the other end of the room.
Move it?
Move it.
Yes, and you might as well do it now while I tell my mother to bake a couple of cakes in case we don't have donuts.
What's that? In addition to the lemon meringue?
Of course.
Oh, gee whiz, Agnes. Naturally, I'd move your piano any place you wanted.
And so will I.
And Agnes, are we glad you can come to our party here?
Well, thanks, fellas. It was certainly very nice of you to ask me. And would you do me a favor?
Sure.
Sure. What is it?
Would you mind if I ask Gertie Parker to come Saturday night? She doesn't get invited to many parties.
Gertie Parker?
Gertie Parker? Oh, boy.
I'm glad you mentioned her. I'll call her right now.
Listen, Homer, who mentioned her?
But, Henry, why should you object to Gertie Parker when you're getting a wonderful room like this thrown in with her? Come on, let's move the piano.
Okay, but my heart isn't in it.
Push.
Push yourself.
Keep her going.
Push.
Now, wait a second, Henry.
That's what I say. Homer, after we get this taken care of, how about our moving that picture that's on the wall?
What's the matter with it? That's Agnes's father.
It is?
Sure. Come on and push.
Push yourself. Gee whiz.
Boys, may I ask just what you think you're doing?
Wait, hello, Mrs. Lawson.
Henry Aldrich, I'd like to ask you again what you're doing.
Wait, we're just...
getting ready for the party.
What party?
Ours. Here. Hadn't you heard?
And we want you to know, Mrs. Lawson, we're very grateful.
Boys, will you both please leave this house?
Yes, ma'am. Well, gee whiz.
And I have a good notion to call both your parents.
Oh, you don't have to bother about anything like that. We're going right away, Mrs. Lawson.
Kathleen, tell me once more. When you called Henry, just what did he say?
Agnes, he said he had no desire whatever to discuss the matter.
And he said that I tried to boss their whole party?
Yes, Agnes, that's exactly what he said.
But I don't see why he should blame me, Kathleen, for something my mother did.
And I stuck up for you. I told him you didn't mean to be bossing.
My goodness, I was never so embarrassed in my life. I'll never be able to face Homer again.
I know, but I don't know why Henry should be so mad at me.
At least, Kathleen, I did one thing. The minute I realized my mother wouldn't bake anything for them, I called the bakery and doubled their order for donuts.
Really?
And Kathleen, as a matter of fact, I have an idea.
What is it?
First, where's your telephone? My goodness, when I get through, Henry and Homer will come around on bended knees and apologize.
Hello?
Doesn't she answer?
I'm ringing your number.
Homer, when you went back to get your hat, what did Mrs. Lawson say?
She didn't say anything. She wouldn't even let me in.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I'm never going to darken the Lawson door again.
And I hope you don't think I'm going to.
I'm ringing your number.
Thank you.
Henry, when you see your mother, tell her I found the list.
The what, Father?
The list of members of the Rotary Club I was looking for.
Hello?
Oh, Aunt Harriet. This is Henry.
Hello, Henry. What is it you want? I've got to get back to the kitchen.
Aunt Harriet, how would you like to... Have you got a full day Saturday?
No, not especially. Did your mother want me to come over for dinner?
Well, if I could arrange it, could you?
Well, what did you call me for?
Why, I wanted to know whether I could borrow something.
What?
Your house.
What's that?
Oh, Aunt Harriet, I have to give a party that evening, see? And gee, if I could arrange it so you wouldn't have to be there, Aunt Harriet, would you be interested?
Why, I might.
You might?
Oh, boy. I'll let you have the party at my house, Henry, provided you don't invite that awful Homer Brown.
Oh, but Aunt Harriet!
Lawson, do the ladies in your church serve supper sometimes?
Oh, my, yes. We have beautiful equipment downstairs, right off the Sunday school room.
Well, could you serve a little Valentine supper tomorrow night?
Well, I guess we could.
Hey, Miss Henry and Homer haven't any money.
Kathleen, just a minute, Mrs. Tompkins. Kathleen, the food they serve wherever they have it is going to cost something, isn't it?
Yes.
Then why not let it go toward the church and make it worthwhile?
Oh, all right.
Hello, Mrs. Tompkins.
Hello.
Do you suppose you could serve something that wouldn't cost hardly anything?
Oh, I guess we could. Something as simple as a bowl of soup and maybe sandwiches and a rice pudding.
Yes.
Well, we're awfully anxious to raise some money for the new organ, and I'm sure the ladies will be more than glad to.
Hello?
Hello. Is this Miss Harriet Breyer?
Yes.
Harriet, this is Mrs. Tompkins.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Say, I've got some good news about the organ.
The organ?
Yes, the one we're raising money for at the church.
Oh.
A young lady just phoned and wanted to know whether we could have a little dinner for her, a little party tomorrow night.
Good. How many are you going to serve?
Well, I told her it wouldn't be worth our while unless we had at least 40.
Good.
And she said she'd see to it there were at least that many, and she might be able to round up 50.
Well, I'm awfully glad to hear that. That organ we have now bothers me every Sunday.
Aunt Harriet, do you suppose you could be one of the ladies that'll help serve?
Tomorrow night?
Yes.
Oh, I would. I'd be glad to, only I just this minute got through inviting some people over here for a party tomorrow night.
Oh?
Yes, I'm going to give a little surprise party for my nephew, Henry. I know he wants one.
Oh.
And I'm asking in quite a few. Mrs. Carbell said she could come if it wasn't too slippery for her bad leg.
Really?
And another person I'm going to ask is old Mr. Perkins.
Oh.
Henry will like him. He's a lot of fun at a party.
Good.
And Miss Fredericks, she hasn't been out all winter.
Good.
I'm just sorry that you can't be there yourself.
Well, I'm afraid Aunt Harriet and Henry have rather different ideas about who's welcome at a teenage boy's party. But something they probably would agree about is what makes the most welcome hot drink at mealtimes. The answer is Postum, of course. Millions of Americans will tell you that. In fact, it's because Postum is so popular, it's because every day more and more people are insisting on Postum that there's a temporary shortage. We just can't keep pace with the fast-growing demand, even though we're making more Postum today than ever before in our history. So if you can't always immediately get Postum when you ask for it at your grocer's, don't be discouraged. Don't think your grocer isn't going to get any more Postum. He will. And as soon as he does get Postum, you'll get it too. So be sure to ask for it again. Now, getting back to the troubles of Henry Aldrich. Henry and Homer are trying to find a place to hold their party Saturday night. Meanwhile, unknown to them, Agnes Lawson has arranged for them to hold it at the Methodist Church. And Aunt Harriet, also unknown to them, has decided to let them hold it at her house. The scene opens in the Aldrich living room.
Henry, will you please answer that phone?
Why?
Yes, please.
Homer, would you mind answering it and just tell whoever it is I'm not here?
Henry, I'm not going to be your personal goat.
But Homer, suppose it's Agnes trying to get us again.
Just tell her again we're not speaking to her.
Well, okay. And if it's somebody wanting to know where we're going to have the party, I'll tell them it's slightly up in the air. Hello?
Hello, is Mr. Aldrich there?
Mr. Aldrich? Why, no, he isn't.
Oh, well, when he comes in, could you please tell him that the Mansion House phone...
The Mansion House? The Mansion House Hotel?
Yes, I wanted to submit an estimate for his party Saturday night.
A party?
Yes, I received word that he's planning a party for Saturday night, and I wanted to give him the figures for a private dining room.
Well, gee whiz, I'm planning a party, but...
Oh, are you Mr. Aldrich?
Yes, sir, only
Only...
Oh, you're the gentleman.
Yes, sir.
Well, I figured out an estimate for you.
I know, but we can't afford anything that's going to cost as much as... Well, we just couldn't afford it, that's all.
Well, this isn't going to cost so much.
It isn't?
No, not at all.
How much is it?
Well, first, I'll have to know a little more. Would you want a fruit cup or tomato juice to begin with?
What's that?
I said, do you want a fruit cup or tomato juice?
Why, Homer, which do you want, a fruit cup or tomato juice?
Now?
Hurry up, we're going to get a party. At the Mansion House Hotel.
Oh, could we have grape juice?
Hello, could we have grape juice?
Yes, yes, you can have anything you want.
We can? Homer, have anything you want.
Gee whiz.
Hurry up and decide, what do you want?
Oh, take fruit cup.
Hello? Oh, we'll take fruit cup.
No, now, wait a minute, Henry. Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Make it... Okay, fruit cup.
Hello? Fruit cup's okay.
Yes, Mr. Aldrich. Now, would you want chicken patties with peas or lamb chops with limas?
Well, that sounds all right.
Which will it be?
What?
Chicken patties with peas or lamb chops with limas?
Homer, how would you like some lamb chops?
All right, with lots of mashed potatoes.
Hello? Could we have lamb chops with mashed potatoes?
Oh, yes, of course, Mr. Aldrich. Lamb chops with mashed potatoes.
Lots of them.
And how about limas?
No, who wants limas? Gee whiz.
Well, now about the dessert. What would you like?
Well, what have you got?
Well, we can give you almost any kind of pie, ice cream, French pastry, stewed fruit.
Stewed fruit?
Listen, Henry, I'm not going to eat any stewed fruit at my own party.
Hold the line a second. Homer, we can have any dessert we want.
Anything?
Sure. I've got an idea. Hello?
Yes?
Could we have pumpkin pie a la mode?
That's the old fight, Henry.
Well, I guess you could. You'd like it served in separate dishes?
No, just dump the whole works together.
Ask him about chocolate sauce.
Oh, yes. Would there be an extra charge?
For what?
Chocolate sauce.
Chocolate sauce?
Yes.
Are you sure you should have chocolate sauce?
Oh, sure.
Well, there might be a small charge.
Oh, how much will the whole thing, including it all, come to?
Well, just exactly how many are you having?
Why, 14 with Gertie Parker.
What's that? Well, I understood it was 200.
200?
I don't know where I got the idea, but that was the message that was left here for me.
200?
200 what, Henry?
Mr. Aldrich, I'm afraid that for 14, we'd have to charge you at least $1.50 apiece.
How much?
Now what's happened?
Well, the only thing is... Well, gee whiz.
You can't afford it?
Oh, it isn't that we can't afford it. It's just that... Even without lima beans?
Well, naturally, I thought you wanted something rather nice.
Oh, we do, and I appreciate your offer. Only, suppose I think it over.
And you'll call me back?
Yes, I may, but if you don't hear from me, don't worry.
Well, thank you, Mr. Aldrich. Goodbye.
And thank you.
Mother, we can't have a lot of fly-by-night young people who don't take anything seriously dancing around us while our sorority's having a meeting here. My goodness, we have a deficit in the treasury as it is.
But, dear, I'm sure they wouldn't pay any attention to your deficit.
But that isn't the point. Our president gets nervous with even just us there.
Mary, I was simply wondering whether there isn't some way we can help your brother.
Robert!
Yes, Sam, are you home?
Yes, hello. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Father.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Her sorority has a deficit.
Yeah? Any phone calls for me?
Not that I know of, dear.
No? Didn't the Mansion House phone?
No, Sam.
No?
Now, Sam, you don't have to start putting in phone calls the minute you get home.
But, Alice, I left word for them to let me know whether they could take care of our Rotary Club banquet Saturday night. And we're expecting 200 guests. Hello?
Number, please.
I want, Elm 224.
Elm 224?
If you please.
Sam, do you have any ideas as to where Henry could give his party?
Why not right here?
Father. Now, Sam.
Hello?
Hello, is this the Mansion House?
Yes.
Well, this is Mr. Aldrich.
Oh, yes, yes, Mr. Aldrich. I was wondering whether you'd call me.
Did I say I'd call you?
Well, I understood you would.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the other way around.
Have you finally decided to go ahead with your party?
Oh, yes, definitely. The question is, can you take care of us?
I don't know why not. There's nothing complicated about it.
Good. Then I don't have anything to worry about.
No, not a thing. You just leave it to us. And on second thought, Mr. Aldrich, there won't be any extra charge for the chocolate sauce.
For the what?
For the chocolate sauce.
Oh, there won't? Well, that's fine, that's fine.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Alice!
Yes, Sam?
I've got everything all fixed. And what do you think? They're throwing in the chocolate sauce.
For what?
I don't know, but it's very nice of them to give it to us.
Well, isn't that fine?
Yes, sir. I've been hoping we'd be able to have our banquet at the Mansion House. And you know, Alice, I didn't tell you before, but this year it's going to be a bit more important than usual.
In what way?
Well, I've heard a rumor that they're going to nominate me for president.
Really? Well, dear, you deserve it.
Yeah?
No wonder you want everything to be especially nice.
Everything especially nice about what, Mother?
Henry, I'm glad you came into the room. Kathleen and Agnes stopped me on the street and said they'd been trying to get you for 2 days.
They did.
They did, Mr. Aldrich. Did they seem apologetic?
They said there wasn't anything for you to worry about, and they'd be seeing you at the Methodist Church tomorrow night.
At the Methodist Church? What for?
I wonder what's going on over there.
I don't know anything more about it than what I've just told you.
Well, the nerve of them.
That's what I say.
You know what they're trying to do, Homer? Come to us on bended knee.
In the Methodist Church?
We'll show them. We're going to give the best party tonight this town ever saw.
Where?
Mother, that's the least of our worries. Something will open up. It always does. And, Homer, do you know what I'm going to the phone and do?
What?
Double our order of donuts. Homer, how does my necktie look?
Wait until we get up here under this lamppost, Henry, and I'll take a look at it.
Oh, let's turn here, though. My Aunt Harriet lives up the street.
Okay. Your tie looks fine.
You know, it was very nice of my Aunt Harriet to call me up and say we could have the party at her house.
That's what I was thinking.
Did I tell you what else she said?
What?
She said she had sort of a surprise for us.
She did?
Sure. You know what that means. She's probably going out and let us have the whole house to ourselves.
She is? Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That's what I was thinking.
Say, I wonder what's going on across the street at the Methodist Church.
I'm not interested.
As a matter of fact, I'm not either. Hey, Henry, look up the street.
Where? Well, gee, what's that all about?
Well, there's something going on over at the Mansion House Hotel.
Boy, they're all dressed up. There must be a lot of parties going on tonight.
But, Henry, there are a couple of hundred people out there on the sidewalk. They're all trying to get in.
Maybe they're all getting put out.
Oh, look, there's my father.
Oh, yeah? And there's mine.
Where?
Don't you see him with all those men talking to him with his back against the wall?
Oh, sure.
Oh, there you are, Homer Brown.
Gee whiz, Agnes, where did you come from?
We just came from the Methodist Church. That's where we came from.
Hello, Kathleen.
Henry Aldrich, do you realize everybody's waiting for you?
Where?
At the church, at the church.
We're not interested.
You're not interested in your own party?
In what party?
Now, listen, Agnes, have you been arranging more things?
And just what, Homer Brown, do you mean by that insinuation?
Now, wait a minute, Agnes, wait a minute.
And before I sit down, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to extend the thanks and gratitude of the Rotary Club to several groups and, shall I say, individuals. First, I think we should thank Sam Aldrich for the very clever and original way in which he arranged this evening for us. I needn't tell you that for a few minutes when we first went over to the Mansion House, it looked as though Sam had slipped up and arranged a table seating 16 to take care of 200 guests. But it was done, of course, simply to teach us a lesson that we mustn't expect sumptuous banquets in these days of war. In fact, this very delicious dinner consisting of pea soup and peanut butter sandwiches and, shall I say, rice pudding, and let's not forget the donuts, was just what we needed to bring us back to Earth. While the 15 soldiers who were to be our guests are eating at the Mansion House and will join us later. Oh, incidentally, I understand Sam arranged their dinner to end up with a triple-headed dessert. And besides that, Sam Aldrich has asked me to say that we're going to put all the money that we've saved on tonight's dinner into war bonds. What's more, the treasurer of this church has just handed me a report to the effect that their organ has gone over the top. And I would like to extend our thanks to the good ladies of this church who dropped everything in order to make our banquet the success that it's been. I understand one lady in particular who had planned a Valentine party at her house for her nephew or someone, at the last minute commandeered all her adult guests and brought them down here to help serve, leaving the youngsters to shift for themselves as best they can. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce our genial chairman and next president, Sam Aldrich.
Ladies and gentlemen, frankly, I don't know what to say.
those parties seemed to straighten out nicely for everyone, didn't they? But if you think Mr. Ulrich's troubles are over, just you stay tuned in to find out what happened the next morning. And now let me remind you that Postum, for years the favorite mealtime drink in millions of American homes, is made for your convenience in two forms. Instant Postum, which you make instantly in the cup, and Postum cereal, which you make in pot, percolator, or drip maker. Both forms make the same delicious, distinctive drink. So no matter which form of Postum you choose, you'll enjoy a mealtime cup that's a real treat.
Good breakfast, Alice.
Thank you, Sam.
Father, will you have another donut?
No, thank you.
Go ahead, have one.
Henry, I have already had three.
Oh. You know, Mother, I think that was a very good idea you had about lunch.
What idea was that?
To make a little custard to pour over the donuts.
Incidentally, Alice, I won't be here for dinner.
Listen again next week to the Aldrich family, same time, same station, for another sparkling half hour with your favorite youngster, his family, and his pals. The Aldrich Family, starring Ezra Stone, is written by Clifford Goldsmith. Original music is composed and conducted by Jack Miller. This is Harry Von Zell saying, you will enjoy fragrant, flavorful Postum. And remember, Postum contains no stimulants. It cannot make you nervous. Good night.
This program came to you from New York.
And that's the 90-minute mark for this week, but we'll be back next week with more great old-time radio. So join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.